You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. It's Saturday, December 5th, first Saturday of the month of December, and we're going to be celebrating Christmas here on this program for the next 4 or 5 weeks. We're going to be playing all those great Christmas music, all those great Christmas songs that everyone loves. James Edwards here tonight with Keith Alexander. I don't know if you've noticed, ladies and gentlemen, but the last couple of weeks, our show has been quite encouraging and uplifting. A lot of good news. Something's in the air, I feel. And we're going to play a song to that effect a little later into the show tonight. But unfortunately, we had another highly motivating show coming your way. But diversity has temporarily
reared its ugly head again.
Yes, yes. It has temporarily derailed us, at least for the first couple of segments. And to give us the facts, as only he can, we have the one and only Sean Bergen, and he's going to let us know what happened in San Bernardino, California, earlier this week. Sean, take it away.
Well, what we saw was a terrorist attack on American soil, highly successful, ISIS-inspired. If anybody had any question, any doubt about whether or not ISIS or their true believers are operational in the United States, those arguments were just laid to rest just a few days ago when we saw this horrific massacre and showed what two people armed with a couple of long rifles could do when they had a captive and helpless audience slash victims. These people were assembled in an auditorium for the purpose of having a Christmas party. The very co-workers who actually threw a wedding shower for this young couple, that they then went in and gunned down all these people, all while knowing that they're leaving their six-month infant child back at home while they carry out what is sure to be a suicide mission. They know going in, all of these people do that at some point, they're going to get killed. They're either going to get killed or they're going to get locked up, but they almost always fight to the death. So they knew going into this that they were going to leave their six-month-old child behind. The kid was just a prop for them. This is how depraved and indifferent and twisted and evil these people are. And for those folks out there who think that they can be reasoned with, they can be negotiated with, if we just weren't so a little more understanding of Islam, perhaps these people wouldn't be inflicting this kind of stuff on us. Those people who hold that view are, in my view, mentally ill. They're insane. They cannot be reached. They cannot be talked to. And I'm sick and tired of even trying to reach folks like that. And I'm talking about, once again, the institutional left, because we saw how they jumped in to report on this story immediately in the aftermath when it was clear, abundantly clear, to every American citizen, anyone, any clear-thinking adult with two eyes could have looked at that situation and very quickly come to the conclusion that this was Islamic jihadist terrorism, okay? And they did everything they could to raise the question of perhaps with three white males that this is a right-wing Christian-inspired militia group, as if these are the kinds of attacks that are happening just about every other week now. It absolutely boggles the mind when you see how these things go down and then which way the media is determined to try and sway the story in order to protect their political boyfriend, their political lover, Barack Obama. Turns the stomach. And it really has me fearful for the future of this nation. I just don't know what this guy is going to be able to accomplish in the final year of his presidency, but it really is a little frightening and concerning to me.
Well, he's got the template, his executive order privilege that he is assume for himself, Sean. This is Keith Alexander. When you're talking about sick, twisted people, I thought you were going to talk about the news media. They're the people. Now, you said it was abundantly clear to anybody with two eyes to see or two ears to hear. Well, our local fish wrap here in Memphis, we call it, it's a commercial appeal, we call it the communist appeal here on the cesspool. said motive a mystery. That was the headline on Thursday morning's newspaper. And again, I'm like you. I locked in immediately when they said three white suspects. You know, they were hoping this was going to be the son or the bride of Dylan Roof or something. You know, this occurrence, it's like Halley's Comet. You know, a white guy killing nine non-white people is like Halley's Comet, comes by once every 75 years, but that's the template they wanted to play up. And apparently they can't tell an Arab from an Englishman, the people in the news media, okay? But it's, you know, I'm surprised they didn't just drop the whole story and run us one on the Kardashians instead, you know, because the leftist media has an agenda, and the agenda is anti-white. And that's why they ran this story in the first place. Then when they found out it was an Islamist, a Muslim, then, of course, everything is shrouded in mystery.
Tell Sean Keith, and I want to get back to him very quickly, but tell him the headline. Did you share with him the headline?
Yeah, I did.
Commercial?
Motive a mystery.
Yeah, motive a mystery. Well, it wasn't a mystery. You
know, that was as late as Thursday. That Thursday they were saying the motive is a mystery. Now the silence is deafening, okay? And they tell us that, you know, we need to be very careful that this is probably a matter of, you know, workplace violence.
I got one
somebody
better.
Going postal.
I got one better. Here's a headline for you, Sean, from the UK's Daily Mail. Attorney General, that would be the U.S. Attorney General. The greatest fear, the Attorney General says,
is Loretta Lynch.
Is that it isn't Islamic terrorism. It's attacks on Muslims because of a backlash. This is what, of course, they're worried about, which is never going to occur unless they consider an attack to be Donald Trump being elected president. And I think he won the election the minute the news reported that the shooter was named Saeed Farouk. But very quickly, Sean, you're our go-to guy with regards to the inner workings of the media because for so many years you were a very prominent television news reporter.
In the belly of the beast, so to speak.
The New York, New Jersey market. Tell us a little more about the media's response and spin on this story vis-a-vis Dylan Roof, for instance.
Well, as you said, this fits the template. It fits the you know, the narrative that they have running through their minds because they can't help themselves. What you'll hear them try to do is they'll try to, they have this outline already drawn of the story, and now they're trying to color in the line with little bits of information very early on in the story in a very dynamic and fluid situation while there's still gunfights underway. They'll take one glimmer of information, like somebody said they were white, and boom, there you go. Well, if they're white, then they must be Christians. And if they're white Christians, then it's quite likely that they belong to some type of a militia. And you can see, like,
or the Ku Klux Klan.
Going on in their mind that they're just trying to take, cherry pick whatever they can get to shoehorn into that story. It's no different than what we saw in Ferguson, where they, you know, they take the initial soundbite from a thugged out criminal who ended up being a criminal accomplice of the so-called victim at that time, and take his soundbite as gospel, and then run it until it. You know, you end up, like, conditioning the minds of people. It's really kind of frightening how extreme and how far they go to try and push that narrative. Because, I mean,
well, you know, they said it was three. They said it was three suspects. I'm waiting with bated breath to hear that Dylan Roof broke out of jail and was a part of this.
Yeah, he was in there somehow. Somehow he made it. All right, we're going to take a break. More with the incomparable Sean Bergen. Yours truly, Keith Alexander. We're going to stick with San Bernardino into this next segment. More to come. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength, in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T. At libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, I got a few headlines here. I'm going to run past Sean Bergen. And Sean Bergen, ladies and gentlemen, every time he's on, he's such a treasure. He is a pro's pro, and we're very, very lucky and fortunate to have him as a contributor and a correspondent to this radio program. San Bernardino shooting attacker pledged allegiance to ISIS, officials say. That's a headline from CNN. They begrudgingly had to report that one, undoubtedly. Here's a good one. Neighbor didn't report suspicion concerning San Bernardino shooter over fears of being called a racist. That one didn't get enough play as it should have, but that is something we'll circle back and take a look at. And then, of course, is the fact that the two shooters, Saeed Farouk and Tashfeen Malik, they're two of the three, the two that we know of, she was a citizen. And it just goes to show how tenuous and frivolous citizenship can be.
Or how good the vetting process isn't.
Well, and this is exactly, Keith. And here it is, a headline from Breitbart. California shooting shows jihad risk from Muslim migrants, U.S.-born children. Tashfeen Malik was, quote-unquote, thoroughly vetted by the government and qualified for a K-1 visa. It is worth repeating that both of these individuals would have been on Donald Trump's proposed database. Sean, anything that I just recited tickle your...
Well, one thing I'll tell you for sure, you raise a couple of important issues, the most serious of which right now is just how deadly political correctness is.
There's no doubt about that. You know, the narrative is, of course, that guns killed these people. I guess these people certainly used guns. Yeah,
this
no
is
doubt
a big
that.
Gun control story now, not an Islamic terrorist story or an ISIS story or anything else. It's workplace violence again, and what's responsible is those terrible guns and the Second Amendment that we keep clinging to along with
our
Bibles
back
here in middle
America. My father was born in 1954 when America was a racially and culturally homogenous nation, overwhelmingly a Christian nation. Everybody had guns. Kids took guns to school, loaded guns for show and tell. You never had stuff like this happen. So diversity and multiculturalism this is the result of that.
It's a hidden problem. You know, it's always the hidden problem behind all of these things.
You know,
for example, I'm a lawyer.
Let me just illuminate a very important example here on this very issue, okay?
Please do.
Two very similar situations. Two terrorists armed with semi-automatic long rifles. They burst into the center, and they gunned down, kill 14, and injure 17. But when you look back at the terrorist attack that happened in Texas, when they were holding the cartoon contest for Muhammad, those guys showed up with AK-47, clad exactly the same in bloody armor and fatigues, and they got out of their car to go into a convention center to gun people down, and guess what happened?
They were gunned down themselves.
That's it, exactly. They were shot themselves before they could carry out the attack, and that is the only way that you take out a terrorist. It is kill or be killed. You kill them.
It's by exercising your Second Amendment rights, which is what these Texans were doing.
Right, and the more good guys we have with guns, the better it is for everybody, every cop, retired cop, law enforcement person. Anyone right now in this day and age who has a concealed carry permit has a duty and an obligation to carry that firearm with them everywhere they go, because these things are happening in movie theaters, they're happening at shopping malls, they're happening at convention centers, they're happening at assisted living centers, they're happening at gun-free zones, soft targets, where I think that the American people now are to the point where they've said, enough with this nonsense. We're going to start carrying our guns wherever we go, and we don't care what Mr. Obama and company and his delusional leadership. I mean, Loretta Lynch, for her to come out and say, as Attorney General, that her greatest fear is the backlash against Muslims with 14 Americans just barely dead, not even in the ground yet, and this woman is delusional. And she is delinquent in her duties as a U.S. law enforcement official. Her primary objective, her first mission, is to protect the American people, not a bunch of people who are either in the country illegally or they came in under nefarious measures. This woman and her guy emigrated to this country by lying through their teeth to government officials. And for some odd reason, the Obama administration and people on the left think that we're going to be able to successfully vet upwards of 10,000 Syrians who are leaving.
Well, I was just talking to James about that, Sean. The only person that has a database on most Syrians is Bashar al-Assad, and I don't think we've got a very good relationship with him. I don't think he's going to share his database with us. But
one more thing to what Sean's saying here. And Sean, you gave me chills in your commentary there, and I wanted to shout in the middle of it, here, as you responded to Loretta Lynch's lunacy. I mean, what's the matter with these people? But I'll tell you, there is a political repercussion to this. And unlike the left, I take no satisfaction in that this occurrence has once again proven us right and proving our talking points to be accurate. Unlike the left, I don't like to take advantage, nor do I take advantage of a tragedy to advance a political agenda. But regardless, when an occasion like this presents itself, there is a reaction from the American people. And I was texting with Scoop Stanton, and I said this earlier. I said, Scoop, look, when the next polls come out after this, Trump's going to be up 20 points. And as God is my witness, the latest CNN poll shows Trump up 20 points as of today. Sean, do you think he was elected on Wednesday?
Well, I it certainly bolstered his case. I mean, I'm not going to rule out Ted Cruz at this point. You know, there's still a lot of time in between now and then. But certainly, Trump is giving voice to a sentiment in this country that has been bottled up now for 7 years. And like a jack-in-the-box, it is just being unleashed every time he opens his mouth. You know, he says what both pundits would say would get him drummed out of a race at any other time, at any other place, if it were any other candidate. But for some reason, this man resonates with the American people. He is giving voice to what they are feeling, and they don't care. Not only do they not care about his violation of political correctness, but they applaud him for it, because political correctness is dead. who are suffering the consequences because they push through these feel-good gun legislation things that are meant to make them feel better. And that's what
Sean, this is Keith. Let me just say this. Everything that you've said resonates of common sense, and this is why I'm so hopeful about the Trump candidacy, because people that say that he's not conservative enough don't recognize what you and I recognize and James recognize, which is that conservatism is just another name for common sense. Liberalism is that counterintuitive BS that has been fed to us through political correctness and otherwise. You said that this type of common sense has been bottled up for the past 7 years. I'd say it's been bottled up for the past 70 years. And we're about to see a thawing with this. Donald Trump obviously is abundantly blessed with common sense, or else he couldn't navigate the treacherous financial landscape that he's been so successful in his career. And I really do think that the America, that this is basically what both political parties are showing us is that they're elitist, they hate Trump, and they hate us because we're populist.
And no matter what, you know, Trump, if he's real, if he's not real, regardless, he is saying what he's saying, and it's resonating with the American people, and that's why he is up nearly as much over the very wide Republican field as Hillary is over Bernie the Socialist. Sean, thank you for your contributions tonight. We'll continue on with this in the next segment. Stay tuned, everybody. Sean Bergen, once again, a big salute.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-888-346-9144. 866-986-6397. That's how I wanted to open the show and how I intended to open the show. The whole show tonight, it was just so much good news. And we still have a lot of good news to share with you, although we've had to cut into the time we were going to share uplifting and encouraging and positive news with you to work in what was going on with San Bernardino. And we're thankful once again to Sean Bergen for helping us do that, although his cell phone reception, I think he was calling in from the dark side of the moon tonight. But even Sean, with not so great cell coverage, is better than not having him at all. That guy is a true asset to this program. Well, anyway, we're going to continue on for a little longer on San Bernardino. And then in the second hour tonight, give you a little sneak peek on to the rest of the show. In the second hour tonight, we're going to talk about the war on Christmas. It's December now, so the war on Christmas is heating up again, the 2015 edition of the war on Christmas. And Keith and I are going to cover a little bit of that. And then later in the second hour, Kevin McDonald will be on. The great Dr. McDonald will be on, also talking about the war on Christmas. And in the third hour, Eddie the Bombardier Miller will be with me, and we're going to cover a variety of topics, a hodgepodge, a little bit of something for everybody in the third hour. That's how the rest of the show is going to play out. But back to San Bernardino, Keith.
Well, Sean Bergen is the perfect example that we can point to prove my next comment, which is, in the American news media, if you're not a leftist, you're a left-outist. Sean Bergen is a common sense commentator on the news, which means since he has common sense, he's going to be more conservative than not. And because of that, he's no longer part of the mainstream. He lost his sinecure. He lost his job simply because he insisted upon making common sense observations about the news stories that he was covering. Now, you can see the slant of the leftist media perfectly. It's come into perfect focus on this San Bernardino shooting. As you will recall, the first reports were three white suspects. Of course, the proof turned out that there were no white suspects. We had two Middle Eastern descent suspects, and I don't know who this third one is unless Dylann Roof broke out of jail and he's masterminding the whole thing. And don't put that one past the mainstream media. You know, they're undoubtedly going to try to come up with something like that. But what they're showing is that the media is decidedly anti-white. Once the perp becomes someone other than a white person.
You're kidding.
No.
You're kidding. They're not any white, are they?
Oh, absolutely they are. And the thing is, if the perp turns out to be somebody other than a white person, suddenly the motive is a mystery, as the commercial appeal in Memphis reported in its headline on Thursday. And everybody needs to sit back and make sure that they don't react to this in a hateful way. It's only okay to react with hatred towards a perpetrator if the perpetrator is white.
We have a call now, Matt the Copperhead, and I should add that I think the things going on in audition behind the scenes in the studio might be coming out on the air. But we got the Copperhead, and the Copperhead is with us, and he's
Let it rip, boy.
He's slithering around.
James and Keith, it's Matt the Copperhead calling from deepest, darkest Little Rock, Arkansas.
Oh, Well, it's still the South. That's all I can say.
Well, you know you're in Arkansas when the biggest city in the state is has the adjective little in front of it.
That's right.
That's
absolutely.
For sure.
We got 20 days to Christmas, and I'm not a menorah in sight, so things are all right.
Hey, you're in the South, baby.
I tell you what, you're in God's country then. That's
right.
All I got to say.
In an office building the other day, some secretary was putting up a Christmas tree and all the decorations. I said, sarcastically, where are you going to put the menorah? And she said, you what? And that just warm.
That's
well,
right.
If she was really educated, she'd say where the sun don't shine. But
okay. All right, everybody. All right, everybody. Come on. All right.
Hey, kind of had something going on this week. Reached out to a lot of senators, congressmen of Jewish extraction, and came up with this kind of a brainstorm here of why are we in Europe, in the United States, why are we having these people, these refugees, from Syria, why are they schlepping all the way to Europe, and they're going to be coming over here? Throw you an idea? Let them go to Israel. Let them stay in the neighborhood. Let them come in as refugees. Get stuff.
Well, you know, it's amazing you brought that up, Matt. I mean, Copperhead, because this is what we were commenting about in the run-up to the show.
We were talking about this at dinner tonight.
Yeah, the Congress of American Rabbis, apparently this group for American Jewish religious leaders, has come out officially in favor of the United States allowing virtually unlimited Syrian immigration here, yet the state of Israel doesn't have even a crack in the door for these people. So consequently, there's this massive hypocrisy that no one else besides us and a few others are reporting on, that the the Jewish community has this standard for all nations, all white nations, all white Gentile nations, which is open borders. And for their own nation, they've got the tightest border security in the world. They want no wall between us and any foreign country here in America. But they have a wall that would put the Great Wall of China to shame between them and the left bank.
So, well, and we said this too, you know, Donald Trump went in to meet with all of the Jewish benefactors, the major Jewish donors of the GOP field, and he said, I know why you're not supporting me. You're not supporting me because you can't buy me. Now, overall, his comments were quite favorable towards Israel, but he did let them know that, you know, I'm not
for sale. I'm unbossed and unbought.
And he was booed over that, of course, because this is a group that, to say the least, is used to deferential treatment. But back to you, Copperhead.
No, so this is just an idea I've had. I've been trying to spread the word around, you know, contact Chucky the Schmuck over in D.C. in his Brooklyn office. And
You're talking about Chuck Schumer, right?
Yeah, you know, it's something I got to vetch about, you know. kind of get on board here and really.
Y'all are on a roll tonight.
The Barry Sanders office. Hey, where's your position on letting these refugees come next door? Stay in the neighborhood, you know?
Right, you know, yeah. Hey, you know, Copperhead Scoop called his representative again. He called his representative a couple of weeks ago and got the cold shoulder from his handler or the guy who answers the phone with regards to Muslim immigration. Then he called him back after San Bernardino, and of course they were still just as enthusiastic over bringing in more Syrian refugees.
Absolutely, we got to put an end to it. Seriously, I mean,
there's no common denominator. Of course, Syrians and Saudis or Syrians and Pakistanis have nothing in common with one another, do they? Of course, they do. They're Muslim.
I know.
The most important of all, I guess, is, you know, and on the other hand, we do know that Muslim terror is visiting us over here because we have involved ourselves in Middle Eastern military exercises. What for? For the primary benefit of the state of Israel. They control our foreign policy, and we're reaping the harvest of that. We need to seal our borders, and we also need to stop schlepping, as you said, for the state of Israel in the Middle East.
That's right. You know, my friends, Some people might call me a Luftmensch, but I know I'm not the only one.
You got all that junk. You lived in New York long enough to get that Yiddish patter down, man.
This guy lived in New York.
The copperhead has the hooks, so believe me.
He's on a roll tonight. We got to get this guy on tour.
20 days.
Borscht Belt.
God bless you all. And please, keep Christ in Christmas or there's no cash for Kazar. Love you guys.
Oh, my goodness. Get this guy out of here. He's taking over. All right. We'll be back with Scoop Stanton right after this. And we're going to stay on this topic. All right. Stay tuned, everybody.
No cash for Kazar. That's right.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. From Matt the Copperhead to Scoop Stanton. And again, we're going to diversify throughout the show. Second hour, War on Christmas. Dr. Kevin McDonald will be our guest to talk about that very topic. And then in the third hour, Eddie the Bombardier Miller and I are going to just cover, so many different topics, including the South Carolina lawmaker, a member of the South Carolina House of Representatives, sent a Confederate-themed Christmas card to all of his colleagues in the state house and encouraged them to apologize and recant, ask repentance for their sin of betrayal. Hey, that's my kind of guy. We got to get this guy. We got to get in touch with this guy. But we'll tell you that story in the third hour, so stay tuned. Every minute tonight is going to be a barn burner. But continuing on with the theme of the first hour, begrudgingly, you know, it was all going to be good news tonight, but instead we have to talk a little bit about the San Bernardino thing because it's such big news, and nobody's giving it the proper treatment outside of the Liberty News Radio Network, and so we have to do our part. And Scoop Stanton's going to do his. Scoop, take it away.
Thank you, James. Good evening, successful family. First, I want to give a shout-out to Bruce out of Cleveland, Ohio. Successful listeners in the Cleveland area, if you need pictures for your wedding, your kids playing sports, photos of the family, please get a hold of Bruce over at clickforpics.com. That's click, F-O-R, then P-I-X.com. He helped me out, my family, today. It had nothing to do with the photos, but shout-out to Bruce out in Cleveland. Also, we want to remember some of the fallen officers. On June 20th, Darrell Holloway of the New Orleans Police Department was shot and killed transporting a prisoner. Somehow I missed this one. And then recently, Officer Garrett Swayze of the University of Colorado, of Colorado Springs Police Department, was killed November 27th in a hostage standoff by Parenthood. His funeral was today. And also, Officer Lloyd Reed of the St. Clair Township, Pennsylvania Police Department, he was shot and killed responding with a domestic dispute call. What I want to do is go over some points that I had written down. They might sound familiar or rehash of what Mr. Edwards, Mr. Bergen, and Keith Alexander spoke about. But anyways, the two Muslim shooters used semi-automatic rifles that fired 65 to 75 rounds and left the scene in a dark SUV. The shooters left three pipe bombs, and the total casualty rate was 14 killed, 21 injured. Police started to clear and escort the victims out. And then at 3:20, when the SUV finally reappeared again, a shootout ensued. 20 to 21 officers fired 380 rounds at the couple. Both died at the scene. A third person of interest was brought in for questioning, but was not involved. A search of the SUV revealed 1,400 rounds of .223 rounds and 200 rounds of 9mm ammunition. Then at 5:05, police executed a search warrant at the couple's home where they find 12 more pipe bombs, 2,000 more rounds of 9mm ammunition, and 2,500 more rounds of .223 ammo. And, of course, the police refused to give a description of the third person or even the dead Muslims. During the course of the night, myself, James, Matt, the copperhead, and Sean Bergen were texting each other with ideas who the killers were. We instantly determined that if it was a white male with white national tendencies, we would know about it immediately, and any Confederate flag within 50 miles would be ripped down, and the media would have been at the killer's second-grade teacher's home immediately. Now, of course, there was reactions from the left-right paradigm. The Republican presidential candidates expressed their thoughts and prayers on Twitter. Donald Trump also gave a shout-out to the law enforcement who had to deal with the mess created by the followers of Allah. The Democratic candidates, of course, immediately called for tighter gun control, despite the fact that California has some of the strictest laws in the country. The president, during an interview while this was all going on, said we need even more gun control, not knowing any of the facts. Again, the media, for the most part, didn't bring up the Islam as a religion of peace nonsense until a day or two after the massacre. The left-wing media was also brought up. The point was it was a terrorist attack or workplace violence. People going home to put on body armor and picking up 4,000 rounds of ammunition is not workplace violence. And as predictable as ever, MSNBC had people saying, woe is the Muslim in America. And not to be out-pandered, Democratic politicians went to visit local mosques here in the D.C. area. Delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton and Representative Don Beyer of Virginia visited mosques to show solidarity in the anti-Muslim sentiment. And, of course, Attorney General Lynch said that if anybody, any Muslim was bullied, please contact the Attorney General's office, but don't worry about San Bernardino. That was just an isolated incident. Needless to say, Black Lives Matter was nowhere to be seen, either in the attempted apprehension of the couple, the search of the apartment, or rescuing survivors in the building. San Bernardino SWAT officers were caught on camera stating to the victims not to worry, that the officer was going to take a bullet before them. And then, of course, the Daily News was absolutely reprehensible with their headline the next day saying, God is not helping. And, of course, the Daily News, thankfully, is losing subscribers and readers on a daily basis. But just to show how much political correctness kills, the neighbors of the killer saw all sorts of suspicious activity going on, was afraid to say anything as not to be called racist. But the best act of police heroism doesn't go to the San Bernardino Police Department, but to the Metropolitan Police Department here in Washington, D.C.
I know where this Jessica is going. Hawkins,
Sergeant Jessica Hawkins of the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Unit talked to a transgender person to surrender in a barricade situation, which blocked off about 10 blocks of downtown Washington, D.C. during rush hour. Sergeant Hawkins is also a member of the transgender community. So, way to go, dude.
But she probably offered her a job.
Yeah, that's how she got her to come down. Or he, or I don't know what pronoun to use here, but they probably offered it a job.
An affirmative action job with the police.
Oh, disgusting, disgusting America. Scoop, great commentary tonight. Thank you for that. And I want to circle back. Scoop covered a lot of ground and reiterated some of the ground we had plowed earlier. But I want to get back specifically to this thing about guns. You know, guns have nothing to do with this. When America was a racially homogenous and overwhelmingly white and Christian nation back 50, 60 years ago, everybody had a gun. You never had shootings like this. Diversity is the soul.
Diversity kills.
Diversity is not a strength. It is a killer. Diversity kills. And, you know, it's not about who's better than who. We're better than them. They're better than us. That's irrelevant. I don't hate them, but I will say when you put people of different races and different languages and different cultures and different religions into the same living space, you are inevitably going to have conflicts like this. It has happened throughout history, going all the way back to Babylon and beyond that. It has happened everywhere. That you have had a multiracial society, and America is no different. And you go back to the 50s when you had shows like the Andy Griffith Show. Keith, we were talking about that at dinner tonight as well, you know, where the father was a strong authority figure. He wasn't a simpleton. He wasn't a rube. He wasn't a cuck. And the son, you know, wanted to be like his father. And even in the commercials in those shows, the women weren't, and I'm not, look, we all gain weight with age. Believe me, I know that. But now you have teenagers and grade school children. They're obese. They have purple hair. So even people who aren't engaging in these, mass shootings are still, they're more, mutilating their bodies.
Well,
like
they're
Bruce
Jenner. Negatively impacted by the liberalism that
there
permeates our society. It's in the air we breathe, in the water we drink, and it's having a deleterious effect on our society and culture. That's why we at the Political Cesspool say liberalism is the modern face of evil, and we defy anybody to prove differently.
Well, they'd be hard-pressed to do that. And so this is the problem with America. What has changed since 1954? And I use 1954 because that was the year that a couple of things happened. That was the Brown versus the Board of Education decision, which was a watershed moment. Also the year of birth of my father. And so within the generation of my father still alive and well, within a single lifetime, America has fallen from Andy Griffith and Ozzie and Harriet to Bruce Jenner.
Ozzie and Harriet to Ozzy Osbourne.
Well, Ozzy Osbourne was a role model compared to what they have now. I mean, believe me. Bruce Jenner and just look at what's
Kardashians.
Going on out there.
Rather than the Cleavers, we have the Kardashians.
There you
today.
Go. That, good point, Keith. And so this is it. And I truly believe that it's beginning to fall apart before our very eyes. Despite their best efforts, the establishment, the media, the political parties, they have tried to suppress these things.
They put the best face they can on it, and it's still...
People never bought into it. Keith, we were talking about this. People never really bought into it. They were cowed, and they shouldn't have been cowed. That should have never happened, that people were afraid to speak up and stand up and speak out. But you have Donald Trump now, whether he's real or not.
Donald Trump has brought it out, and what we said was that liberalism and most of middle America, and in red state America in particular, is a mile wide and an inch deep, and no one has brought that to the fore with more authority and with more veracity than the Donald Trump
campaign.
Donald
Trump is popularizing a lot of the things we've been saying on this show for 11 years, and This is a guy, how crowded is the GOP field? 12, 15 candidates. He's got 36% of the support out there.
And he took a great bump upwards when the facts about the San Bernardino massacre came out.
He's up 20 points over Cruz, who is now ahead of Carson himself, who was supposedly challenging Trump just a couple of weeks ago. Scoop, final word this segment to you, and we're going to switch to the war on Christmas in hour number two. Go, Scoop, 30 seconds.
Okay, well, the Democrats' call for gun control has actually blown up in their face. Since Black Friday, the number of people buying firearms has gone up through the roof. For the simple fact, the whole world is burning. No thanks to the President Obama, Attorney General Holder, Attorney General Lynch, Secretary Clinton, and Secretary of State John Kerry.
Got to take a break.
Everything that...
Yeah.
All right, bye.
Well, Scoop, I'm sorry, but I just want to say Obama Land is coming to an end. That's Buchanan's recent column. Read it at our website. We got to.